Call to order. 48-hour notice. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting being held on Tuesday, May 6, 2025, has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Post Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mrs. Bissonne? Mr. Carnahan?
Here.
Mr. Catani? Ms. Kavanaugh?
Present.
Mr. D'Ambrosio? Mr. Dibble?
Here.
Mr. LaFredo?
Here.
Mrs. Malone?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollak?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Josephina Presby?
Here.
Cassidy Murray? Megan Liggett?
Here.
Donovan Brown? The quorum?
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. And we'll now move to the student board representative reports.
Good evening, everybody. I will be speaking regarding student life here at MHS. It has been a very exciting and filling, busy month here at MHS. First off, our junior prom was last Friday, and it was an event ran by student council. It was a great success, and the energy and spirit of the student body has been incredible, and I personally wasn't there, but I hear everyone had a great time. In April, our Caught Living Like a Warrior campaign focused on inclusion, which is a core value at Manasquan that encourages every student to feel seen, valued, and respected. On May 1st, we recognized our class of 2025 for College Decision Day, and seniors proudly wore their shirts or gear representing what college, trade school, or military branches they will be going on to for their exciting future, and we are so proud of all that they continue to do. We also have been continuing our lunch and learn sessions during community lunch, and including yoga and meditation with Miss Festa is an example of a session that we gave during our lunch and learn. On April 15th, the MHS Garden Club had the chance to connect with Sea Lavender Garden Club at a meet and mingle event celebrating our partnership and the power of community connections. Looking ahead, we are thrilled to host our first annual Lip Dub, which will take place on June 6th, and our first annual Battle of the Classes, which will be May 13th at 6:30 p.m. in the gymnasium. And these events are fun end-of-the-year events that are designed to celebrate student pride and unity across all grades with some fun competition. And of course, seniors are counting down the days till prom, which will be held on May 30th. At the Jumping Brook Country Club and our senior class trip, which will be at Topgolf on June 3rd. Additionally, students in AP classes are taking their exams this week and next week, and we wish them the best of luck. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'll be talking about the arts. So the Visual and Performing Arts Department had an exciting month. Just recently, the members of the committee spent the day in New York City and attended a performance on Broadway. The experience left a lasting impression, with many students calling it their new favorite musical. Looking ahead, we're less than a few days away from the spring dance show called Lights, Camera, Dance, happening on Wednesday, May 7th and Thursday, May 8th. Our dance students have been working hard to deliver a high-energy, unforgettable performance. The spring choir concert will be taking place on Wednesday, May 14th, followed by the annual art show on Wednesday, May 21st. And lastly, the spring band concert will take place Thursday, May 22nd, and we encourage everyone to come out and support our student artists.
Okay. Once again, thank you for giving us the pulse of what's going on in the district, or in each school. I did ask one thing of Dr. Kokoda this year to continue a tradition we started. What happened at the AP pep rally?
Oh, I forgot to add that. The AP pep rally was last week, and it was a very fun event, which riled up like all students taking AP classes, and Dr. Kokoda got outside, and everyone got to hit him with a water balloon, but only if they promised to do their best.
How did
you
get on the invitation list for that? I would have loved to have gotten.
You have to be in an AP class.
And he did okay emceeing the event. It was good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad he's continuing the tradition.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do some presentations. Just so how the room is set up for the presentations, I would ask anyone who's coming up that we announce and recognize tonight that you come up this way and exit that way, okay? So we're going to start off always with our recognizing, the board recognizes, our students of the month at the high school. So our freshman student of the month is Abigail Shaw. School Abigail plays the flute and band and the guitar and jazz band. She is also a member of the drama club and art club. Outside of school, Abigail plays guitar and saxophone, takes vocal lessons, and participates in karate. Abigail also volunteers at Caddis Island and Cooper Environmental Center. Abigail's favorite subject is biology. Her favorite teacher is Mrs. Honorado because she is very nice and makes class enjoyable and fun. Abigail thinks all of her teachers are wonderful and wants to also acknowledge Ms. Shilla, Mrs. Galano, and Ms. Sakal. So you're very heavy into performance.
Yeah.
And if you can tell everyone, how has your ninth grade year been overall?
It's been amazing. I've really enjoyed it.
And so you're glad you came to Manasquan?
Yes.
Well, you're the student of the month for this month, and we just want to congratulate you and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Our sophomore student of the month is Aiden Gephardt. Aiden is focused on his classes and studies. Outside of school, Aiden is a Life Scout with Belmar Troop 40. He has participated in many volunteer projects organized by his troop, such as horseshoe crab tagging set up by the Littoral Society, feeding and cleaning animal enclosures at Utter Chaos Farm Sanctuary, and scouting for food, which he stocks local food pantries. Aiden's favorite subject is Algebra 2. His favorite teacher is Mr. Glenn because he makes class very fun and has great jokes. Mr. Glenn really knows the course material and offers to assist students with work during lunch. Now, Mr. Glenn, I know very well. Congratulations, by the way. You're saying he teaches chemistry, but he's funny. So how does that work? Because I never found chemistry to be funny.
I don't know. like some really loud corny jokes.
Are they chemistry jokes or are they just corny jokes? So I'll let them know. Okay. And what do you like about your experience at Manasquan High School?
It's been good, pretty fun. The classes are nice.
Okay. And how does scouting kind of blend in with your life here at Manasquan?
It helped me with like meeting and talking in front of people, because in scouts I get to lead like younger scouts and teach me things that I like.
Okay, great. Well, so congratulations. Aiden Gephardt, sophomore student of the month. Our junior student of the month is Madison Carlisle. Warriors and National Honor Society. She is also on the tennis team and golf team. Outside of school, Madison plays tennis and volunteers. She enjoys spending her time providing for those in need through her volunteer work. Madison's favorite subject is Spanish. Her favorite teacher is Mr. Scheibler, because he really likes his style of teaching and has a lot of fun in his history class. Why don't you, congratulations,
thank
by the
you.
Way. Why don't you tell us about all the volunteer work that you do?
Well, I help like special needs kids and adults like work out and stuff, and it's really fulfilling, I feel like, because they're so much fun to work with and they just are very happy people and they love me around.
Okay. And what do you learn in Mr. Scheibler's class?
I learned U.S. History 1, and it was probably one of my favorite classes because like I had a lot of friends in that class and I liked, you know, like the way that it's on stuff.
Yep, very popular teacher here. Well, congratulations again. Let's take a picture. Griffin Lindstra. In school, Griffin is a member of National Honor Society and peer leaders. He's also on the varsity soccer team and varsity basketball team. Outside of school, Griffin plays travel basketball with NJ Sure Shots. He also enjoys going to the beach and hanging out with friends. Griffin volunteers as a basketball coach for the Biddy basketball program. Griffin's favorite subject is gym. His favorite teacher is Mrs. Hodnett, because of her class is really enjoyable. She really cares about her students and provides a great classroom environment. Griffin Lindstrom. Griffin was unable to make it tonight, but I'd ask Mrs. Hodnett if she's here. I know they're all involved with coaching. She's coaching softball. Let's give a round of applause for Mrs. Hodnett. Manasquan Elementary Student of the Month. James Murphy. In school, James is the student council president. He participates in many student council fundraisers and activities. Outside of school, James plays Mad Dog lacrosse and hockey. He also enjoys hanging out with family and friends. James's favorite subject is language arts. His favorite teacher is Ms. Jensen, because her kind spirit makes class delightful. She has always helped James learn quickly and has been his favorite teacher since the sixth grade. Now, Mrs. Jensen couldn't make it tonight either, but why don't you tell us a little bit about why you like Mrs. Jensen?
Well, she just really like makes class more fun, even when it's like a rough day, like even during state testing, she like let us watch movies and stuff.
All right, well, on another day, what does she do?
She like tells jokes. She'll just make it a lot more fun to learn by like making like, it easier and stuff.
Okay. So I'm gonna let you know a little secret. I was class president too in my elementary school. What's the most challenging thing about being class president?
Really just like doing all the speeches and stuff, trying to get like stage fright or anything. That's not fun.
Yeah, but it helps you. Maybe be a superintendent someday, stand in front of a crowd. It doesn't get any easier, you still get nervous. But it's a good skill to have. Congratulations. Well done.
James.
Oh, Yeah, sure. Come on. Congratulations to Laura Jensen, who couldn't be here tonight. She had a family obligation, so she couldn't make it tonight. But congratulations, Ms. Jensen. We have our this year's Manasquan Elementary School Geography B winner at Manasquan Elementary School, and he finished second place in the county, and the district winner, and his name is Ryan Mallett. So we're going to take a picture in a second. I've got to ask you this two questions. So was there ever one question that you said, uh-oh, but then you came through and got it right as you won the geography bank? What was the one that stands out to you?
There was just one question. It was some I could kind of forget. It was about one about it was like a country in Africa. It was like a river. And I remember my mom, my mom practiced this question, and thankfully I remembered it. And I had no clue then.
How you would come up with something popped my practice
mind.
That question.
Something popped in my mind, and then I got it.
All right, so can I ask you, you had to be stumped on one question to get second. That's very good. Yeah. What was the question?
It was a question on New Zealand.
Okay.
It was
what
island? So I said South Island,
and it was North Island. Well, you got it now. All right. All right. Congratulations. Let's take a picture. Well done. Statewide, at the elementary school level, drug-free bookmark contest finalists, and we had two students who were recognized across the state, and it was Bridget Lonis and Sharon Chen. That's a great contest to be part of, and your artwork there is fantastic. I can never do that. Did you keep the bookmark, or did you give it to someone?
What did I get? The bookmark?
Okay, when you get it back, we'll keep it yourself. You deserve it. Congratulations again.
Good job.
Okay, let's take it back. See Sharon here, but congratulations to Sharon Chen as well. This is a great accomplishment. Our juniors taking PSATs, and we don't from year to year get a lot of these, but this year we have five that National Merit Scholarship Program recipients here at Manasquan High School. Very, very proud. I know Dr. Kakuta coming down from Holmdel High School, he would get a few each year, and we would always compare. And he comes down here, and then he gets five. So that's a tremendous first year, Dr. K. And just a great accomplishment, and just shows you the quality of the student that we have here at Manasquan High School. So if you come up and be recognized, we have Owen Murphy, Nathan McNamara, Jake McDade, Jackson Bramley, and Kiara Dunn. Come on up.
So
going to take a 5-minute recess. Please enjoy some. We are going to move to a public presentation of the budget for 25-26 school year. Before I turn it over to Dr. Crowley, I just wanted to give a special thanks to our finance committee this year, chaired by Mr. Pellegrino. The members of that committee were Mr. Pellegrino, Mrs. Pollock, Bruce Boulderman, Bill Dibble, and Dr. D'Ambrosio. Want to thank Pete Crowley, Tara Tholen, and their business office for putting together, which is a fantastic budget. The kids get everything they need, the teachers, the supplies they need, with responsibility to the taxpayer. It starts off in late August, and through the fall, we do a budget philosophy and a needs assessment of our district, and then the building administrators work with the teachers and support staff to put together a budget. They sharpen their pencils, keep working with the business administrator, Dr. Crowley, and the school superintendent, myself, and we come up with a responsible budget. So, you know, thank you to everyone. And, you know, Pete, you and your office should take a bow. This is a fantastic, responsible budget.
Yeah, and just to echo, Mr. Goodall's sentiment, thank you to the committee for sitting through my various presentations. I know they're not the most edge-of-the-seat stuff, but it's important. And thank you to the folks in my office who do the yeoman's work of working with me to get the budget set up and done. I won't be breaking any news tonight. The budget is identical to what was presented in March and what was submitted to the county, with just some minor tweaks to where things are appropriated. So it was requested that we move some things from account number X to account number Y, but no material changes to what is actually going to take place and what's going to be supported next year. I'm going to briefly talk about some high-level stuff, some appropriations and revenue breakdowns. I'll then turn it over to the principals, who will go over some of the more interesting and fun stuff, what the budget's actually going to do for the kids, and then I'll follow up at the end with what the tax impact's going to be. So for the 25-26 budget, we plan on doing some significant work, in particular with replacing of flooring systems. Since I've gotten here and before I got here, there's been kind of a phase-in approach to replacing carpeted floors throughout the district. We've been doing 3 to 5 classrooms a year. We're now at the point where there's about 15 classrooms left. We discussed, you know, doing it over the next 5 years, or just let's get it done. Let's get everyone in a nice, clean, up-to-date classroom with non-porous flooring. We have some funds available in our capital reserve that were generated through interest earnings on the referendum and the USIP projects. So we are recommending that we move forward this summer with there is some asbestos abatement involved in those particular rooms, so it's a summer project. So this summer we'll do the abatement, we'll do the replacement, and the result will be all classrooms will have non-porous laminate flooring, similar to what we have in the LVT flooring we have in most of our classrooms. Some of the bigger rooms, the one we're sitting in, the media center across the street, will keep carpet for now. It just kind of lends itself to this space with the acoustics, a big room like this, to have carpet. If we do decide in the future to move towards non-porous flooring, we can certainly discuss that, but that's not in the budget. It's just the classroom areas. We are starting the International Baccalaureate next year. It's official with the tallies that are in, so that's an exciting initiative that I know we talked at length about that will begin next year. If any of you have seen our grounds guys driving around in our old beater pickup trucks, we're fortunately going to be replacing those with two new up-to-date trucks with new plows, new lift gates. Hopefully it's going to make those guys' lives a lot easier, especially with snow removal. They really work hard to keep the place clean, and this is going to help them, you know, save a couple back poles, hopefully. In terms of staffing changes, we have two high school teachers who are retiring. They will be replaced. We have a full-time paraprofessional who's retired and will be replaced. And we are moving a part-time, they're currently a contracted half-time DCBA who we purchased their time from Belmar. We are going to increase to a full-time BCBA position paid for by us and is an actual Manasquan employee. We did have a reduction in force that we talked about at length last board meeting, so we did lose one staff member, and that's obviously accounted for in the budget as well. We're continuing the one-to-one initiative through new lease purchases of computers for all the students and staff members. We have we're going to continue our initiative to replace interactive whiteboards throughout the buildings in the highest need areas. The oldest ones leave and get replaced with newer ones. Again, every year, kind of like the carpets, we do 4 to 5 of those. And we hope to be completed with the referendum construction by the end of next school year. So we're towards the end of that. We're about 90% done with that project. And barring any unforeseen extreme circumstances, we should certainly be done with that by the end of next school year. And should be great for the kids. Some other factors impacting the budget. We are in, can't believe it, 5 years already of payment for the field house. 5 of 26, so we still do have 21 years left, but man, does time fly. That's 5 years down. We are depositing $100,000 into capital reserve, which we've done every year since the turf field was installed. Since the lower turf field was installed, we've done $75,000 a year. Since the field house opened, we increased that by $25,000 a year to $100,000 with the, foreseen issue of that turf is going to need to be replaced within 15 years or so. So hopefully by that time we'll have a nest egg to do that without impacting the general budget. We have that $190,000 withdrawal, what I mentioned before, for the abatement and replacement of floors throughout the district. Other factors, non-financial factors, but things that obviously affect the district is enrollment. We're going to continue to keep an eye on that. It is projected at lower than 1,400 next year. That may fluctuate. It's just a budgetary number, but as we've talked about, you know, at length in our board meetings, that trend seems to be continuing. We're going to see enrollment declining. Other major high ticket items are out of district placements for special education and transportation, which are fixed costs. High need students who we can't educate here. We have to contract with out of districts who have special placements for them. And one other item I just wanted to bring up is the increased cost of health benefits. This is always a concern for school districts all over the state. For us in particular, medical and prescription went up 8% and dental went up 10% this year. In the past several years, we've had very modest increases. It's been extremely stable, in my opinion. Anywhere from 0 to 3% is what it's been since I've been here. So this is the first, significant one. It is requiring us to use a tax levy cap. So we actually went, you hear the 2% cap on your tax levy thrown around for your general budget tax levy. We actually went to 3% this year. That additional point was needed to cover some of those increased costs due to the increased health benefit cost. Just a high level breakdown again of the budget. The user-friendly budget will be posted to the website tomorrow, and you can get account by account information on it. But the total budget is $38,294,245. This is up 2.63% from the revised budget last year. A number of things drive that percentage. It's not necessarily just that tax levy increase, it's fluctuations in debt service and fund balance. But we see the overall 2.63% increase. We've discussed a lot in central office. Our administrative per pupil cost is starting to rise, in particular because of some of the requests from the county that I mentioned before to reallocate and charge different administrators to different account lines. So we haven't seen much upward pressure on that number lately, and it is a restricted number. You can't go over a certain regional limit, which is 2,677. We're closer to that than we have been in the past, so we're going to continue looking at that and figuring out ways we can responsibly keep that number at a safe place. The per pupil cost, this is pre-K to 12, is $23,805, which is up from $23,300, about $500 up. From last year's budget. I mention this every year, but general fund state aid, we had some positive news was that it went up 6% this year. Some negative news is that only amounts to $55,952. General fund state aid only makes up 2.77% of our budget. So ultimately what that means is the taxpayers and the taxpayers from the sending districts through tuition shoulder a lot of the cost to educate our students. The upside of that is you see all these districts in the newspaper who are having significant problems with their state aid getting cut. We're kind of protected from that. We're not totally at the whim of the state if they do decide to make a major cut. Hopefully we can figure out a creative way to absorb it. They didn't this year. Like I said, it went up 6%, which is great, but it's not a huge number to begin with. This is the district level general fund appropriations. On the next slide, I'll talk about school by school, but I won't read this to you, but generally what I like to get across when I discuss how the appropriations are divvied up is a lot of it is kind of built in. It's salaries, it's benefits, it's costs we don't have direct control over. Either they're collectively bargained and or in the health benefits case, it has to do with our experience and how we're consuming our health care. But as you can see, about 90% of the costs associated with running the district are fixed. We had significant increases in energy costs, as I'm sure you've all experienced in your homes. We're experiencing that as well. So those fixed expenses just basically come through themselves. You know, we don't have too much power to change what they are. We only have about 10.55% of discretionary expenses. Those are the classroom supplies, and I use discretionary in quotes. That's new textbooks, classroom supplies, things we need to run a district well, but that's where we can have some wiggle room to reduce and make cuts if we do need to sharpen our pencils. On the school level, and we do this in particular to demonstrate to the sending district, so you guys have a good understanding of kind of how the budget is broken up in terms of the high school, which you support, and MES, which is fully supported by the Manasquan taxpayer. As you can see in both the appropriations here, what jumps out to me from this chart, and I take pride in, is how big the amount of the pie slice for instruction is, and benefits, which really can be interpreted as instruction. Instruction includes teacher salaries, benefits as part of their compensation package. So if you add up the instruction and the benefits pieces of these pie charts, you see the vast majority of our funds are going towards instruction, which is teachers in classrooms, things getting directly in front of kids and supporting kids, which is the mission here. You know, you don't want to see huge numbers not getting for maintenance or for administration that aren't going directly towards the students. On the revenue side, we have two major sources of revenue. As I said, state aid is not a huge part of our puzzle. Our two major sources of revenue are the local tax levy and the tuition coming into the high school from the sending districts. That's the gray and the green slice. The balance of this is meaningful money. I don't want to scoff at it. However, it is, as you can see, just visually, it's not nearly as significant a part of our support as the local tax levy and the tuition from the other LEAs. And then finally, just a breakdown of what those revenues look like by school. Again, this is not a secret, but as you can see, Manasquan High School is funded primarily through tuition revenues from sending districts. That ties in directly with the percentage of students from sending districts that attend Manasquan High School. So if 65% of kids in Manasquan High School are not from Manasquan, that number is 65%. The balance is basically the tuition we pay ourselves to educate the Manasquan kids in the 9 to 12 setting. And then at MES, as you'd imagine, they're all Manasquan students, so the local tax levy is the primary support and revenue that runs that school building. Before I turn it over to the principals, any questions about any of the numbers that have been presented so far? And just in general, please jump in if you do have them as I go. All right, I'll turn it over to Dr. Kokoda then, who can talk a little bit about what your support of this budget is gonna mean for the high school.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Crowley. As mentioned before, and we've been discussing throughout the school year, we're ready for IB implementation for the fall. So we, in previous budgets, supported the professional development and curriculum writing for those programs, and now we're ready to implement those courses. So we currently have 13 students that are registered for next year, and we're very excited for launching that come September. Within this budget, we now have a full complement of the academic honor societies, where all of our students that are able to achieve that will then be honored, and it's something that our teachers do a great job promoting, and is great for the kids. So their hard work is not only shown through the general National Honor Society, but their various interests in the other disciplines. Our summer learning has obviously really taken off. We have our technology integration courses, courses that attribute to the Business Academy, our Academy of Finance, our Law and Government Academy, and we are introducing two new mathematics advancement courses this year, Honors Calculus and Advanced Algebra 2. So appreciate the consideration for those. And finally, so some great news coming out of the Project Lead the Way, in that we were, I guess it broke yesterday, right? We got the news yesterday that we are now a distinguished school for our work this year. So we've been named the Project Lead the Way Distinguished School for our commitment to increasing student access, engagement, and achievement in our Project Lead the Way Engineering and Biomedical Science programs. So it's great to see that recognition, and thank you for your support of the program. And we will be exploring the opportunity to add one more Project Lead the Way course for the 26-27 school year. So that would require our students to be trained, our teachers to be trained for next school year. So those are some highlights for your consideration. So thank you for your support.
Ms. Minetta on the upper
right. I have a question on that.
Oh, certainly.
Just on like the IB, so 13 kids, has it been looked at what like cost per instruction for each of those students is compared to a traditional student?
In addition, like as an excess cost to the, I don't have that, but I could certainly look to calculate that.
Good evening, everyone. So as always, our budget really focuses on ensuring that our students have the best possible range of experiences, instructional opportunities in front of them. So because of that, we are continuing to use some of our successful curricular programs. Wit and Wisdom, we use a product called Actively Learn in the language arts class, which allows kids to have access to a wide variety of electronic texts. It gives a little bit of a broader base for our teachers, and it can make them interactive and engaging. We continue to use our iReady assessment and instruction in our Ready Math program, which we have found to be really successful in helping our teachers to better analyze student data and make better decisions instructionally. We do have another year on our Savvis Science program, and we continue to keep our membership in Project Lead the Way at the middle school level with our Project Lead the Way courses. Previously, our budget had to support the professional development and the curriculum writing for the app creators and medical detectives. We're going to continue those. We did have interest in sign-ups, so that's going to be great. It's nice to see especially a lot of female students gravitating towards medical detectives, so I think that's going to be an excellent experience this year. And then we continue our elective offerings at the middle school level, which has been a really special experience over the last few years to develop along with the students what they're interested in, what the teachers are interested in and capable of teaching as electives. So our Intro to Fitness elective, which has gotten quite popular, our podcasting, our civics class, multimedia literacy, and our social emotional learning, those will all be continuing and hopefully have quite a few students in them. We also will continue our Community Warriors program at the middle school level, which is our opportunity for students to work with their peers and with our counselor and myself to do some problem solving and some instruction in the classrooms to help create a better environment for everybody. The budget also included a couple of additional things, which is the use of the iReady literacy assessment, which is a good complement to our iReady math. It's going to give a lot of quality data for our language arts literacy teachers and our social studies teachers to use to better identify the needs of their students, and then it also gives them some of those instructional pieces to help fill those gaps. We're going to do some additional hands-on science and STEM projects for use in our science classrooms and also in GNC. We're continuing to move towards really embracing those next generation science standards, so those will be included. We continue to provide a number of executive function and sensory supports for students in middle school. We always want to make sure that we have access to different materials that kids might need. So some kids still need a paper planner, kids need standing desks, they need fidgets, they need a wide variety of materials to make sure that they can be successful in the classroom, so we always want to provide those. And then our PLCs continue to kind of expand in terms of professional development opportunities for teachers on a weekly basis when we meet. So book study items, materials to help improve instruction, that's happening live professional development all year long. So we're looking forward to all of those things in this year's budget.
And Ms. Paleo for the lower elementary school.
Good evening, everybody. In the lower elementary school, we do have two, it's not your traditional curriculum writing, but we are taking a look at two projects this summer. One of them is a social studies and science standard audit. Wit and Wisdom is pretty comprehensive, and there are a lot of topics that kind of fit those standards, so we want to make sure that we are using them as a springboard to dive deeper into content to make sure all of the standards are accomplished within the grade band. So that is something that we're specifically taking a look at this summer. And then second, we're gonna be taking a look at the K-2 report card revamp. That is something that, we have a standards-based report card for those grade levels, and we wanna make sure that it's reflective so that it can be a really great communication tool for parents in comparison to how we are assessing students in iReady. So that is part of the hours that we'll be using, hopefully this summer, to take a look at to improve our instruction overall. In the past few years, we have conducted some summer professional development. As you can see now, I'm starting to put the years on them, and I'm like, wow, years are really going fast. 4 years ago, we started with the kindergarten and early literacy cohort, and we've kind of expanded it by demand, with our other teachers, which is great. Last year, we did K through 5, I believe, with a literacy cohort. So we're looking to continue that work and hopefully incorporate a little bit more focus on mathematics as well. We'll be continuing the What It Means to Be a Warrior and Pancakes, continuing that and hoping to use our summer work to really dive into new character traits and in ways to benefit that program. We'll be continuing our extended school year programs this summer, as well as our ESL program and our summer skills program. Summer skills is a way to continue instruction for 8 days over the summer so that students can access the learning so that there's not such a long gap between June and September. It also helps, reduce a little bit of the anxieties when there is a long stretch between when school ends and when school begins. So that is definitely something that we're looking forward to. We'll be continuing the Sending District PD Consortium for ELA and Guided Math, and continuation of the Warrior Clubhouse Before and After Care program, which is very popular. We'll also be continuing our ELA curriculum for K-5 and GEODs for K-2. Continuing our K-8 math program for Ready Math, and our foundations program, pre-K through grade 3. And we've actually extended some of those, not foundations, but the assessments that we've been using to look at that. We've taken some of those components and even embedded them in grade 4 as an intervention piece. So that's been really great. Next year, we have piloted the iReady ELA, as Ms. Mineta already explained. It's going to give us a wealth of information with regard to student learning. So that's extremely exciting, along with the resources that it provides to help in our small group instruction to make sure that each student's path to learn how to read is differentiated. And then lastly, we'll be doing the continuation of our K-5 science program. Did you say your modifier for K-8 science program?
Thank you. I'll take it back over to talk about the tax impact. And Alex, just so you know, this will all be posted to the website tomorrow morning. So yeah, it'll be a little easier than writing it all down. So the tax levy for next year is $19,751,258. When we calculate the rate, pretty simple equation, we're just going to divide that by your net valuation, which is up about $20 million from last year. In other words, home values increased by $20 million from last year. So our rate this year, for 25-26, is 0.009501. And then colloquially, that's usually spoken about in terms of rate per $100, which is 0.9501. As you see, based on last year's budgetary rate of 0.9461, we're only up about less than half a percent. We're up 0.422% in terms of what the rate is on everyone's house. That doesn't mean your taxes are going to increase half a percent. It just means that's the amount that based on home value, which also increased, that's how much your taxes are going to increase. I had it on my screen, but I didn't move it to the next. That's where all those calculations were. In terms of historically, what this looks like, and you can see the top table is showing you kind of the trend for home values, which as we talk about yearly, have increased pretty significantly year to year, as well as the increases in the school tax rate. There was a little dip in 23-24. That was kind of an anomaly that had to do with some both expiring debt and some reduction in funds coming in from COVID from the federal government. So you did see that little dip, but we're pretty stable now at 0.94, 0.95, which is a reasonable place to be. In terms of what this means for an average house, so the average house this year, and all the average valuations and home values, just so you know, are preliminary. This can change after reassessments over the next several months. But the average home in Manasquan is now $661,863. So when you do a per $100 calculation based on the 0.9501 tax rate, the tax bill for a home, an average home in Manasquan will be $6,288.36. And then just to further illustrate what that looks like in terms of year to year, you'll see we did, obviously not every home is worth the average, so here's a little layout of what some homes that are below average and what some homes that are above average, the tax, what's gonna happen to your tax bill. But just staying with the average home of $661,000, we'll see an annual tax increase of $26.40 or $2.21 a month. So, you know, that's a combination of increased home values as well as some lower tax levy related to debt service. That's why that doesn't go up the same percentage that the actual bottom line tax levy number goes up, which is 3%. Are there any questions about anything that the budget's supporting or anything in terms of where these revenues are coming from and what the expense is gonna be? No, well, again, thank you to the committee who served. Thank you to my staff in the business office, and thank you to the sending district administrations and board members who also play a pretty active role in this, especially a couple months ago when we start talking about tuition and what that means for everybody. And that is that concludes my report, Mr. Goodall.
Once again, Pete, take a bow. Great job by the business office.
Acceptance of minutes. I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole, regular public meeting, and public hearing on the 2025-2026 school district budget and the closed executive session of April 15, 2025. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. I have a motion to accept the minutes.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino, Mr. Serino. Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Cornyn?
Yes.
Mr. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone? Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollitt?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comments on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to speak? So no one will move to, would anyone like to be heard on items not on this agenda? See no one, we can move to the discussion items.
We have a curriculum report.
So the curriculum committee met on May 1st, 2025 from approximately 5 to 6. It's been a monthly meeting since the curriculum committee started meeting. This particular meeting, the focus was really to discuss what's happening at both schools during the summer. So there were presentations by the principals from both the elementary school and the high school, and Mr. Place in the meeting was also attended by board members Joel Loffredo, Patty Kavanaugh, and myself. With respect to the high school, one of the real exciting things that we spent some time talking about was the in-person summer math classes, which it's my understanding that we're one of the very few districts that offers summer math in person over the summer. So there are currently 8 students registered to take honors calculus and 12 students registered to take advanced algebra. And this is really a fantastic option for students who may want to move to a higher level math but may not be at that place yet, and opens up other opportunities
in their course schedule. And the online courses continue to be extremely popular. Almost 50% of the incoming freshman class is registered to take the financial literacy and the Microsoft Suite required curriculum that then there's a time in their schedule where they can take other things, as well as the additional courses that have been added. They're very popular. With respect to the elementary school, the committee discussed the revision of the honors protocol for when those decisions would be made for the 7th and 8th grade honors classes. The goal is to try and provide those decisions in the spring so that there's time for students to know where their placement is going to be and to allow for a meaningful appeal process during the summer, so it's not, you know, the week before school starts. And in terms of the ELA iReady, you heard about that with respect to the budget, but the discussion was really that the teachers are now very familiar with the program, having used it in math, and also with the receipt of the data that they're going to get back and how they would work with that data. So all of that work that went into getting the teachers comfortable and familiar with the math iReady should be hopefully an easy transition to the ELA iReady. The grade four is instituting a capstone character project for fourth graders to sort of start to prepare them for middle school and focus on social and emotional education. And then in terms of the entire district, there was just an update on the Go Teach consultant work. The district has provided suggested courses to Dr. Tinkin that teachers feel that they could teach and there's an interest in. Dr. Tinkin will be meeting with both the administrative team, and then once those courses are confirmed and the individual trainers are selected, Dr. Tinkin will do a training with a trainer training before that is rolled out, hopefully to start next December. And then Dr. Tinkin will also do a curriculum writing workshop with the teachers who have been, you know, who applied and have been accepted to write curriculum.
Policy, Mr. Placement, second reading. So.
Yep, all of these policies are the same as we reviewed last month. This is just the second reading, so I'm happy to answer any questions. But everything there is the same as we, with no modifications, since we went over the first reading last month.
Any questions for Dr. Crowley, anything else on finance?
Nothing on finance, just a brief construction update. Next week we'll be breaking ground. Monday, weather permitting, we'll be breaking ground on the track and field relocation project in the west end zone, behind the west end zone, I should say, not in the west end zone. That's going to move the long jump and the high jump and the pole vault facilities up to the upper fields, which will help with supervision of the track team and make it a little easier for the coach to have all her athletes in one place. That will be site work only is going to take place throughout next week, the next couple weeks potentially. They're going to then seal up the project, put up some erosion control, and come back in the summer to lay the rubberized surface, put the sand in, and do the rest of the installation. So by the end of summer, we'll have a fully operable jumping facility up there, which is exciting. And the only other update in the school buildings is we're going to move in the next week or two one additional classroom into one of the new classrooms that was built in the Hundreds Wings. We'll move a third grade class, Jackie, correct me if I'm wrong, from who's been displaced and is currently in one of the old pre-K rooms. They'll be moving into one of the brand new, kind of their final spot they'll be on the courtyard side of the Hundreds Wings. So that'll take place in the next week or two. There won't be any other classroom movement until summertime, when we pull out everyone out of the L shape, the back kind of where the primary playground is area in the Hundreds Wings, and turn that over to the contractor to complete those five rooms over the summer. So that's where we're at with construction.
Any questions? To my superintendent's report, we have a total enrollment of 1,393 students, 917 at the high school, 476 at the elementary school. Both schools are in compliance with their safety drills, and the elementary school performed a mandatory evacuation drill on April 15th, so we're in compliance with all of our safety drills. Happy to report there was no reports of bullying at the high school or the elementary school. Good job, well done. Update on strategic planning. We finished our public portion of planning and identifying needs for the district with the community. It was well attended, three great sessions. And thank you to Tim Tian from New Jersey School Boards who helped facilitate that. We are in the planning stages. Our administrative team is creating action plans, and we hope to have a draft to the board by June with final approval for a five-year strategic plan at the July meeting, and no later than August, but hopefully July.
I would like to just add, you received in the pack, in the package on Friday, the confidential memorandum, copy of the strategic plan results of the three meetings. Obviously, if anyone has any suggestions or thoughts, certainly redirect them to Robert. But I thought it was pretty comprehensive. So.
Yeah. Okay. Just a little update in working. Mrs. Pollack touched on it, but our professional development is in its final stages of planning. We are working with GoTeach Consultants, led by Dr. Christopher Tinkin. He's working with the administrative team Thursday morning to finalize our course offerings to the staff based on all of the feedback that the public gave, parents, the students, how they learn, and then also what the teachers feel they need with some support from the administrative team. So that will be a document that we're looking to finalize with Dr. Tinkin on Thursday, our course offerings. And then by the time the teachers leave, they will have selected what professional development program they will participate in, beginning, I believe it's Friday, September 6th. We're gonna kick that off. So this will be 10 hours of professional development for staff next year. So we're really looking forward to it. I attended the elementary school faculty meeting, and they had a lot of positive reviews right after what we presented, so we're looking forward to it for next year. And also just another thing to mention, once again, is Dr. Kokoda and Mr. Murin, Mrs. Amy Edwards, Jay Snyder, Eric Wesneski, and Chrysaeus McHugh, who are all involved in Project Lead the Way at the high school. We're in our fifth year of implementation, and we're already a distinguished school, so congratulations on that. We can have some more data and information on that, but that was late breaking news, I believe yesterday, right? So Dr. Kokoda, congratulations. And you know, it's a program on both sides, the engineering strand and biomedical sciences, that's really creating a career interest for kids, and kids who, especially in the engineering strand, never would have thought of being an engineer or attending and great engineering school. So that's the purpose of the program. So well done to you and your staff, Dr. Kokoda. And that's my superintendent's report.
Okay, I recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report. Can I have a motion?
Yes.
Mr. Cirino? Mr. Dibble? Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Pollack?
Yes.
Ms. Castorino?
Yes.
Harry? Does anyone need anything separated out from Mass 1 general items, numbers 14 to 21? Can I have a motion on items 14 to 21? Mr. Lopretta? Mr. Pellegrino? Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie? Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan Sending District's items number 22 to 37? Can I have a motion on items 22 to 37? Mr. Serena, Mr. Lopretta, do you have any questions? questions on any of these items?
Dr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretto?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to raise? I have a motion to adjourn to executive session. Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Malone? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can I make a...
Well, you gotta, is there any, there's nothing else for executive? We're done?
Yeah, we're done for executive.
Can I have a motion to reconvene? Mr. Lafretto, Mr. Dimmel, all in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Bazone? Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani? Ms. Kavanaugh? Mrs. D'Ambrosio? Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretto?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Ms. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Quorum?
So we're going to table item number 42. And I have a motion for items, the Manasquan personnel items numbers 41 and 43.
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Lafretto?
Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
And I have a motion for the Manasquan Sending District personnel item number 44. Mrs. Malone? Mr. Lafretto?
Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mrs. Kavanaugh? Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Can I have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Serino? Mrs. Kavanaugh? All in favor?
Aye.